Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
God sent a prophet by the name of Isaiah with this message. Isaiah 9:5. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning and will be fuel for the fire. Combat boots and bloody uniforms will be a thing of the past. Why? Verse 6. For unto us a child is born and a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then it says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Increasing, ever increasing peace. God promised that someday a child is going to be born and that child would be God himself. And he would come into this world as the Prince of Peace. He would reestablish peace between God and man. And the result of that would be peace among the nations, peace in our relationships, and peace within ourselves. Right around the same period of time that Isaiah wrote, about 700 years before Jesus, God sent another prophet to tell us the location where this Prince of Peace would be born. Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, and he will be their peace. So it was the great hope of the human race, as the whole race waited for the Prince of Peace to arrive and be born. It became known as This message became known as the Good News of Peace. The Good News of Peace, or the Gospel. The word Gospel is just a translation of the phrase good news. It just means good news. Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace. It's the Gospel of Peace. Nahum 1:5. Look, there on the mountains, the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace. Again, the good news of peace, the Gospel of Peace. And it's still called that, the Good News of Peace, the Gospel of Peace, in the New Testament, where we find who the Prince of Peace ends up being. Acts 10:36, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the Good News of Peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. It's Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:17, he came and preached peace to you who are far away, peace to those who are near. And in Ephesians 6:15, he's talking about the armor of God. He says, make sure you have your feet fitted with the Gospel of Peace, the Good News of Peace. The Good News of Peace is what the angels were referring to when they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. He's talking about that Good News of Peace. That's what the birth of that baby means. You know, last Sunday I told you that when Michael saw Satan try to kill Jesus, he stood up and said, this means war. Well, when these angels saw this baby born, they stood up and said, this means peace. You want to know what that means? Peace on earth. Peace is to spread everywhere where this child is received. And Luke has already prepared us for this earlier in the book. Just page back one page in your Bible to Luke chapter 1. And you'll see there where the Messiah is described in verse 78 as being like the rising sun. Luke 1:78, because of the second half of the verse there, because of the tender mercy of God by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and the shadow of death to guide our feet into the path of peace. See, Luke already told us about this. So the angels give us two great purposes for the coming of Jesus into this world. Number one, to show his glory. Number two, to bring us peace, peace to mankind. His glory, our peace. His greatness, our joy. His beauty, our pleasure. The more our eyes opened up to his glory, the more peace we get. We see his glory more, we get more peace. And the more peace we get, the more the chaos of life disappears and all the disordered parts of life start to fall into place. So we have three questions I'd like to quickly present and then answer. First, how do you get peace with God? If that's the fundamental underlying problem, how do we get this peace with God? And second, how do you use that to get peace with one another? And third, how can you use that peace with God to bring about peace and calm in your own heart? So let's look at each one of those. First, we start with peace with God. Here's how it works. And if you have your Bible, look over to Isaiah 53. Back to Isaiah again. This chapter of Isaiah describes exactly what would happen 700 years later when the Messiah would be born. And it describes to a T what happened to Jesus. But the interesting thing is in verse 5, Isaiah 53, 5. He was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the sin of us all. So we went astray. We sinned. God took the guilt of our sin, laid it on Jesus, crushed him with punishment, and that punishment brought us peace. That's how it works. Now the penalty is paid for our sin. God's wrath is satisfied, and now it's possible for us to be at peace with God. There was nothing that we could have done to be at peace with God, but what we could never do, Jesus did. By taking our punishment and giving us new life, Jesus was able to fix both ends of the problem, both ends of the broken relationship between us and God. On God's end, justification. That is, what happens is God looks at us and we are justified in his sight. No more guilt. No more anger towards us. We're justified. We're forgiven of all our sins. That's on God's end. On our end, Jesus was able to fix the problem of that underlying hostility in our hearts towards God. Again, what we could never do, Jesus did. Colossians 1:21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, that's talking about that hostility, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. So when the angel announced peace on earth, does that mean every individual on earth gets this peace? No. No, this peace only comes to those who receive the child that was born. Later in the Gospel of Luke, he's going to make that. In fact, Jesus actually says at one point, do you think I came into this world to bring peace? I didn't. I came to bring a sword. And he was talking to people who were not receiving him, not listening to his message. And he says, for you, I came to bring a sword. A good explanation of how this works is in Luke 10:5, where he says this. Jesus said to his disciples, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. So peace is offered right off the bat. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. So the point is, if the people receive the message of Christ, then they get the peace. If they don't, they don't get the peace. Not everyone gets this peace because not everyone receives the Prince of Peace. So you say, well, how do I go about receiving the Prince of Peace then? One word. Faith. Faith. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you get peace with God. That's how you receive the Prince of Peace, through faith. We have peace with God when we're justified when we have faith. In fact, I just read the Colossians 1 passage a second ago. Let me just read the rest of the verse, because the rest of verse 22 has a condition for getting this peace, this reconciliation. In Colossians 1:22, he says, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. If, there's a catch, there's a condition, if you continue in your faith. You have to have faith and you have to continue in that faith. Now let's talk about faith, because this is real, real important. A lot of people, you know, you say faith and people think all kinds of things. You never know what people think faith might mean. So, biblically, what is faith? There's two parts to it. This is easy to remember. There's two parts. Very simple. Believing and trusting. Okay? You believe the truth about Jesus in the Scriptures. You trust him enough to follow his way instead of your own way. Okay? You believe information. You trust a person. Both are crucial. You believe what the Bible says about him. You trust him enough to follow him. More than you trust yourself. So, believing the truth about the Bible, trusting him enough to follow him, put those two together, you got faith. That's saving faith. That's what will justify you in God's sight. You do not get peace with God by cleaning up your life. You do not get peace with God by getting your act together. You don't get peace with God by reforming yourself. You don't get peace with God by doing things for God. There's one way and one way only to get peace with God. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who endured the punishment that brought us peace. And what happens at that point is God's anger with us is gone. Like gone, completely gone, because our sin is put away forever, completely, 100%. And our rebellion against Him in our hearts is overcome. That hostility against Him is overcome, and our hearts are won over to love Him. And God at that moment adopts us into His family, and from now on, all His dealings with us are for our good only. Only. He'll never be against us, ever. He is our Father, and now He takes great delight in us. We have peace with God. So that's the first question, peace with God. Now the next question, how do you use that to gain peace in your personal relationships?
Thank you for listening. We pray you have been edified by today's podcast, and if you have, why not share it on Facebook or send a link to a friend? Between now and Christmas, we'll be airing excerpts from some favorite Christmas messages. The full versions of all our sermons and other resources are available for free on treasuringgod.com or on the Food for Your Soul sermon app. We're looking forward to Season 3 of the Food for Your Soul podcast. It will be all about stress and anxiety and how to enjoy the peace of God when you are under pressure. That will begin Monday, January 6th. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of what we have planned for you in 2020. And if you would like to be part of making those plans come to fruition, please consider a generous year-end gift to Food for Your Soul. Gifts are tax-deductible, and you can give online at treasuringgod.com or mail a check to the address you find on that website. We are so thankful for all of you, and we're especially grateful for your prayers for the ministry. We pray for you, too. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.